Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. It's Catherine Levesque, and welcome to my podcast. Today, we're going to talk about the creative process of a writer. I get that question so many times, and you know, I love talking about it because it actually has evolved over the years. When I first started writing, I'm thinking back like 100 years at least. A long time ago, when I first started writing, I remember I really didn't do much preparation. It was, let's just jump in and start writing. And that, my friends, is called a panster. Yes, there is a term for a writer who doesn't have any plot, doesn't have any real idea how to write the story other than the fact he's got an idea for the story. That's called a panster. You just jump in, you start writing, and, you know, you throw it on the wall and see if it'll stick type thing. And that's actually what I did. That is what I did with The Wolf, believe it or not, which is my bestseller, my long-time, all-time bestseller. That's also what I did with The Dark One, Dark Night. And that is what I did with Rise of the Defender. And if you notice, those are the biggest books because, hey, I just started writing and writing and writing and writing. And any author will tell you that books, no matter how much plotting you do, And if you're a plotster, yes, that is also a term. So we have a plotster and a panster. If you are a plotster, no matter how much plotting you do, your stories will really write themselves. They really will, because what one character says to another character often changes the course of where you're going. Certain events will change the course of the story, so you just kind of have to go with it. So back at the time when I was a total panster, you know, I was writing really big, massive stories. But honestly, my readers tend to love those the best. And then I got hooked up with an agent who said, oh, no. No publisher is going to publish a 1,200-page book. So you have to keep it to 400 pages or 100,000 words. And that's how in the industry they measure books. 250 words a page, so you have to keep it to 400 pages. That's all you can do. That is the typical book, so that's how you have to do this. So it took me years to kind of refine my writing process as far as having to tell a story in 400 pages, which for me is really tough. And even to this day, you know, I go way over. My last book, I think, was 130,000 words, so it was quite big. I still think very, very big. I don't think as big as I used to because I'm a little more refined and much more focused on what I need to do and how I need to get there. So these days I'm more of I do plot. I always know how a story starts. I always know how it ends. But the kind of the middle, that's where I kind of panster, so I'm kind of a mix because, like I said, stories really tend to write themselves, and you just kind of have to go with it. Now, how do I get stories or ideas for stories? That's a really good question. It can be anything, and I mean anything. I can read a story, like a historical event, and go, wow, that'd make a really great story. Sometimes authors listen to family history, and I think in this sense, it could be either, you know, history 100 years ago or history 5 years ago. Listen to family stories. Sometimes, you know, like, fact is weirder than fiction. And how many times have you sat back and go, man, that would have made a really good story? Just because it's, who would believe it, right? Sometimes I look at painting, images. I particularly love medieval tapestries. I love classic paintings by Waterhouse and guys like that. It's literally a picture is worth a million words to me. So I can get ideas from that. I can, like I said, anything at all. Sometimes I will see a good looking guy on TV and go, I need to build a story around him. And I do. You know, I give him a name and a history and a background and boom, there goes the story. So really ideas can come from anywhere. And, then that translates into, okay, what's my creative process? Once I've got my story, how do I concoct it? And I just talked a little bit about that. But to elaborate a little bit more, I write by one rule. And I have always written by one rule, and it's never changed. And it is, I write what I love to read. Pure and simple. If, you know, I write something that I would absolutely love to read. And do I read my own stuff? Yes. Yes, I absolutely do read my own stuff. So you have to. You can't, as a writer, as much as I love my readers and I adore them, each and every one, because without them there would be no me, I can't write to please them. Because everybody's got a different opinion, you know. Opinions are like elbows. Everybody's got them. So you can't write to please people. You just can't do it because you're going to go crazy and you're going to end up just, you know, pulling your hair out. So I write when I love to read. Do I read my own stuff? Absolutely. I read my own stuff constantly because, and that's not narcissistic. It's actually, I do it for a reason. I do it because reading my own stuff, going back and reading earlier books and later books, helps me improve as a writer. Maybe it helps me streamline characters, or it helps me not be redundant, because redundancy in writing is a classic for writers. It really is. I do it. I'm a horrible, horrible offender with that. And when I say redundancy, I mean using the same words. For instance, and this is funny because my editor will call me out on this. Every time he edits a book, he goes, okay, this is the overused word this time. And then I think about it, I go, you're right, you know. Sometimes it's, here's a good one for me. Everybody in my books murmurs or whispers. Everybody does that. So as I write, now as a writer, I'm aware of that. I'm aware of what my pitfalls are. Or, I don't know, maybe it's just laziness, using the same words over and over. But so now as a writer, I have to go, okay, I need to find a new way to describe people who talk like this to each other. You know, I have to find a new way for lovers to whisper to each other. But when you think about it, I mean, stop and think about it. How many synonyms are there for whisper? There's not a lot. You can speak softly, faintly, quietly. You know, I mean, so sometimes you're kind of stuck. But, you know, reading my own work helps me avoid redundancy. It helps me avoid maybe pitfalls I've fallen into in the past. Perfect example is Devil's Dominion. People have asked me if I was like in a really dark place in my life when I wrote that, because it's such a dark book. No, I was not in a dark place in my life. Devil's Dominion is dark because it was meant to be dark. Hello, Devil's Dominion. You know, what about that title does not clue you into the fact that it's going to be a dark book? And if you read some of the reviews, they're like surprised it was a dark book. I don't know how to make that any plainer sometimes. It was a dark book. But it was always meant to be like that. However, reading that book, I kind of read it now and I go, oh, yeah, you're right, that was really dark. But at the time, that's just how the story was supposed to go. But nowadays, I mean, I wrote Devil's Dominion about a year ago. So it was in the fall of 2014. Now I just really try not to be so dark, because I think that was the depth of my darkness. I think that's about as low as I can go, and people will go, man, Levesque has gone off the dark end, because the deep end, because she's writing these books about these guys who are, you know, killing babies and stuff. No, I'm not a closet serial killer. That's just the way the book was meant to be. But I try not to be so dark. We've talked about outlining, Clobster versus Panster. Another thing that is a huge part of my writing creative process is character building. Character building is the most singularly, I think, important factor of a book. Yeah, the storyline has to be powerful. However, if you don't have good characters, you can have the best storyline in the world, and people are going to go, oh my God, these characters are, you know, really creepy. Too bad, because the story was good. You don't want that. So for me, building characters are really important. And when I first start writing a book, I tend to go really slow in the beginning, because I am building that foundation for the rest. The slow part of my writing process is always in the beginning. I'm building a foundation. I'm setting the scenes. I am describing these characters. I am laying the foundation for their future roles in the book. So character building is extraordinarily important. There's also rules. Believe it or not, there are rules for books. There are rules for writing romance in particular. your hero and heroine really have to meet within about, now I was originally told, and this is years ago, they have to meet within the first five pages, because if they don't, you tend to lose your audience. And, you know, I don't stick to that so much anymore, but certainly they meet within the first two or three chapters, you know, because, I mean, seriously, you're going to have a book where you've got a hero and then he meets his lady love halfway through it? No, that's not going to work. That's not going to work, because then you have no time to build their relationship. And that is also one of the, you know, huge factors of a story, and especially a romance. You know, you have to build that relationship and you have to make it believable. And you don't want to fall into the insta-love format, or, you know, pitfall, really. Insta-love is a pitfall. In other words, your characters meet, boom, love at first sight. Not saying that doesn't exist, but if you do it, you really have to make it believable. And I did do it in a book called The Thunder Warrior, and that's probably one of the only books where it was like, boom, love at first sight. Because of the way they met, it was just kind of, it just kind of happened that way. But I did it well enough, I think, I hope, at least according to the reviews, that it was believable, thank God. You know, the last thing you want is somebody reviewing it and go, ah, that's a little too fast. are there different rules for different genres as far as, you know, the heroine and the heroine and hero meeting within the first few pages or the first few chapters? I don't really think there are. I think that in a romance, it has to be pretty a pretty generic type of meeting formula, because again, you need to build that romance, and if you don't do that, if you don't have the meeting in the first few pages, then it can be really tough to do a believable and rich and distinctive relationship building storyline. Something I also do when I write is, and I think my readers will recognize this, is I go by the five senses. Can you taste it? Can you smell it? Can you see it? Can you touch it? Can you hear it? In my novels, as I write, I'm very aware of, okay, there's dirt under their feet. It's a mud. It's a gritty mud. Or they're looking up in the sky, and the sky is covered with clouds, and they're pewter clouds, or they're angry clouds, and they're ready to burst at any moment. We have the wind. You can smell the rain on the wind. We walk into the keep. You can smell the old rushes. You can smell the dogs. You can smell the mold. So to me, giving a reader a sense of presence, where are you? Can you feel it? Can you taste it? Can you hear it? Can you smell it? Yes. Yes, absolutely. That, you have to do that. At least for me, that is super, super important. So that's why I do things like recipes, or I have them sitting down to a meal and they're eating a meal and there's a subtlety in front of them that's shaped out of marzipan, or there's a, and this is what medievalists used to like to do a lot, which was you have a peacock or a swan or an exotic bird, you carefully pull the feathers off, you roast it, and then you stick the feathers back on. So that was a big presentation for them. So I want my readers to see that. I want them to smell it. That's important. So today we talked about the creative process a little bit, and I hope that you have learned a little bit about what I do and how I do it and how my brain thinks, because my brain is really weird. So there's going to be things that I do that maybe other authors don't do, just because of the way I think. But that's what makes every single author unique, in that they're putting out a unique product from their brain, and I think that's what makes readers love us. I mean, you don't want us all to be the same. No, absolutely not. So thank you so much for joining me. I hope you learned a little bit about my brain and the way I work and the process I go through. And if you're a reader, I hope that kind of, you know, gives you a little insight. And if you're a writer, maybe you have taken a few notes and can put it to good use. I wish you well. So thanks again for joining me, and we will talk to you the next time on the Catherine Lebeck Radio Show. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.